What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to season 4, episode 2 of the hashtag Are You Okay Mate podcast. I am so happy to be back in the studio and to be joined by a very good friend of mine, someone I've known for a long time, someone that you're going to find is extremely inspirational, the one, the only, Mr. Robbie Coles.
Thank you very much, my man. Good to get in here.
Robbie Coles, title of the podcast, Are You Okay, Mate?
I'm very well, man. I'm good. Brilliant.
Good stuff. So, get comfortable. For those who don't know you, introduce yourself, bro.
I guess my name's Rob Coles. I've been a personal trainer for the last 15 years now. God, yeah. It seems to have flown past, man. I've had a pretty diverse background in the industry, so I've been around the block a little bit, worked in some of the biggest gyms in the world, in London and stuff like that, and I've been around the world and worked at NCAA colleges, worked at Oregon State for a little while with their American football team, and then just dedicated my life to studying, really. So I've just basically been studying the human body, the human mind, and performance for the last 15 years.
Done it all?
You never do it all. It's never completed, mate.
No, absolutely. I think that's it, right? It's just constantly learning, constantly bettering yourself. So let's give a bit of background. Me and you have been mates for years.
Well, we're going back probably 23, 24, 25 years.
25 years.
A long time, man.
And one thing that I've really enjoyed is over the last 10 years... is watching you grow as a person.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
No, like, I really, like, honestly, mate, you've been so inspirational. Like, your dedication to learning is mind-blowing for me. And what I love, like, this is what's beautiful about getting older, is changing as a person.
Yeah.
Like, and for me, knowing you like I knew you when we was 17, 18... to the man that sat there now, seeing you grow as a person has been inspirational.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that, because we all go through, I mean, life's a bit of a journey, right? So you, as pages of that journey sort of turn, we grow as a person as we sort of go through the ups and downs that life brings, you know, and you come out the other side, you learn a lot about yourself when you go through these struggles, and you just have to dedicate yourself to wanting to be better, you know, and again, what initially started out for me as being more of a physical pursuit.
Yeah,
you know, getting into the gym, training, wanting to look a little bit better, wanting to perform a bit better, then you realize actually there's more layers to it, you know, and actually you've got to start to peel back those layers sort of mentally as well. And what you realize is there's a lot of us hide behind the physical, and actually going a little bit deeper into understanding who we are as individuals, how we react to the world around us, and ultimately trying to become better, a better version of ourselves is ultimately my goal, is to become the best version of myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a never ending goal, because you're never going to complete it, but you're dedicated to the craft, you know, and that's ultimately where it's like, it's somewhat of an obsession for me now. You know, I want to read, I want to learn, I want to speak to people, because I honestly believe that every single person walking around us, as we even just walk around here, it's like they've all got an individual story to tell.
100%.
You know, and everyone has that story, can change, has the ability to change someone's life, you know, because someone's right now is going through a similar thing that you're going through, that I'm going through, that would just value that nugget of information that I wish I had when I was their age or whatever it might be.
I think that's it. You've hit the nail on the head, like, straight away. Is what may seem insignificant to you as a nugget of information as to what you're going through, if you can offer that as a bit of inspiration to another person, that could mean the world to them, and it can change how they think and how they perceive their own lives and how they can impact their own lives. So one thing I was really keen to talk to you about is this obsession with learning, because like I say, watching you quietly from the sidelines over the last 10 years, I've been astounded at this, like, real sort of, right, I'm going to listen to this podcast. So what drove that, Rob? Because, like, you've got to remember, it's because I've known you a long time, and it's hard when you look at someone you've known a long time, it is hard to get past that person you knew 20 years ago. And we've all changed. We're all from, you know, we're all better people, in my opinion. Like, what drove you to like this Uber? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're constantly driven for success. Like, what changed? What set that off in your mind?
Well, for me, like, school didn't inspire me. I wasn't very good at being told what I need to learn. Mm-hmm. And actually, I finished school being a bit disenfranchised with the whole thing. You know, I was a relatively bright kid that wasn't really inspired to do the work necessarily to learn. Yeah. And I was eager to go out into the world and work.
Yeah, of course.
If I read two books through my whole time at school, I'm probably over-egging it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really enjoy reading. No. And actually, it wasn't until I was 24, 25, when I made the transition to quit my job to become a personal trainer. You know, went back to school for 12 weeks, that all of a sudden I realized that I had a real interest. I could read a lot of material quite quickly. I was actually quite a good reader when I was interested in what I was trying to, what I was reading. So I didn't like read. I still don't like reading for the sake of reading. No. I'm eager to get some information that will make me a better person.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm in a bit of a, sometimes I'm in a bit of a hurry to read because I'm like, I just want the information. Just tell me the information.
Give me the good.
Yeah, book. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes you realize that a lot of books could just be a blog post, you know, they don't need to be a 300 page book.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're engrossed in the material that you're reading. But that was the start of the obsession. And what started out with a fascination with physical performance.
Yeah.
So what led me down the road to learn and read, and that kind of got me to the heights I did in my career and where I still kind of sit now doing that. That's what's got me the knowledge to kind of move through the hierarchy of that and got me to some good places and in front of some great people. But it's then following curiosity, because it's kind of got, for me, with the more physical side of training, I've read a lot of books on it now. I'm kind of a bit, I couldn't tell you the last time I read a training book.
Yeah,
if that makes sense, in terms of a physical training book, you know, kind of I've been there, done that, and I still upskill, and I'm still I'm trying to master my craft in that world. But my fascination and my curiosity lies in the more psychological side of things. You know, how do we become better up here? Not just in our physique. And there is a connection. The physical does train the mental, but even in the way I now train is different. I want to challenge myself psychologically. I want to take myself to the dark places to see what I'm capable of and where I fall short, where my weaknesses lie. That makes sense. So that was kind of the start of, I guess, that whether you want to call it an obsession, but my curiosity. Mm-hmm. And it's learning to follow that curiosity. You know, because I've always been a curious person. I've always wanted to know, like, when I was younger, if I bought a bike, I wanted to know what the best bike is. You know, I'd read up on what the best bike is.
You're always doing new tricks for football.
Yeah, and I was fascinated by that type of stuff. And I'd watch videos and I'd learn them and I'd take the time to learn them.
Yeah.
And it was like, but even if I was buying a stereo, I want to know why are some of the plugs gold-plated? Why are some of them nickel-plated?
Yeah,
I want to know all the ins and outs, you know, and I've always been that kind of kid, you know, but I just I carry that curiosity on because I think I've gone through spells in my life where haven't followed my curiosity and I've dampened myself down and ultimately I've become less happy. I'm happier when I'm motivated to follow curiosity, you know, when I'm interested in something and I wake up every morning and be like, oh, I need to learn that thing. I want to try that thing.
Yeah.
And I think that gives me a meaning to get up in the morning. It gives me motivation to get up. It gives me motivation. If I can start spreading that into the world, like what I learned, then that the feedback that you get off people, mm-hmm. whilst it's like, for me, it's not a natural process to do anything like this, you know, to do social media posts. You know, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with social media, and it's something I'm trying to change, because I do think there's for all the negatives that are there with social media, there's huge positives if you can use the avenues to your advantage and to the world's advantage.
That's such a good point to make. Like, social media is the devil incarnate. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is horrible. However, I wouldn't do anything I do today had it not been for social media.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like a hack. Like, really control the content you consume, because if you start consuming the wrong content, that's when the negative side of social media comes. And like, you made a point of it don't necessarily need to be a book you read. It could be a blog post. You can even...
It could be a reel on Instagram nowadays.
It could be a reel. It could be a tweet.
Yeah.
It could be a TikTok. Do you know what I mean? So, no, like, it's really, really quite interesting to hear about, it's your curiosity that's drove you to write, I've read that book. Let me go and read this book. Let me listen to that podcast.
It's going down rabbit holes. It's like, so for me, it's like I'll read a book and it will just plant this seed and I'll be like,
yeah,
I want to know more about that. Like, okay. So like for me, my big interest is on evolutionary psychology, evolutionary behavior. I like to know why we are the way we are, or why I am the way I am, you know, and it's about understanding me, you know, and understand, not necessarily understanding other people, but understanding we're all unique. You know, we all interpret information very differently. You know, and that leads to one person reacting emotionally and the other person not, and vice versa. You know, and for me, it's about understanding those triggers. You know, when I was, again, younger, it was I was quite a emotional kid. I had a lot of anger inside me, you know, and that would come out on the football pitch sometimes and it would come out in places. And it's like when I started to understand that and delve a little bit deeper, you start to realize that actually they're just triggers that have been there from your past or whatever it might be. And once you understand them and you see them for what they are, you can start to dismantle them. You can start to maybe, okay, maybe I won't try doing that anymore. Because so much of what we do is subconscious.
Yeah.
So most of our day is best a preset of programmed behaviors and habits. Mm-hmm. You know, we wake up in the morning and if our first thought is, oh shit, I don't want to go to work today. It's like, well, that flicks the first domino in a cascade of events. It's, oh God, I've got to do this journey to work. Oh God. And it's all of a sudden, it's a very negative environment.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can change that initial thought, you can change the way you perceive the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and sometimes you realize that we have control over certain things. There's so much in life we don't have control on. I can't affect what the outside world does to me. I can't affect certain things, but I can control how I react to certain situations.
100%.
And that for me has been a big understanding, you know, in terms of how I deal with a situation. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying I'm perfect. There's many times I get caught up in a road and I want to flick a bird and I'm getting angry. And then you're like, okay, calm down. What are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, and then there are other times where it's like, okay, I'm good. Do you know what I mean? I'm not in a hurry. I'm good to go. Do you know what I mean? It's like
control to controllable, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's because that's all you can do. And I think it took me like 37 years to learn that.
Yeah, still learning, yeah.
Yeah, it took me like a very long time to say, do you know what, Jamie? Like, you don't have to react. How you react to so much stuff, you don't have to have a front all the time. Like, you're a person, you're flesh and bone, and you can, it's okay if things aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said to you, mate, like, it's honestly inspirational, like, your dedication and your motivation. So, talk to me about motivation, because if someone was to ask me tomorrow, who's one of the most motivated people you know personally, you would be probably one of the first people that springs to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? And there's a reason I ask that, because I was thinking about it today when I was driving home. Like, it's rubbish weather out there right now. Yeah. It's cold. It's raining. What's your hack to someone that's listening to this? What's your hack to going, right, I am going to do that thing? Where does that come from?
So I don't believe in motivation.
Okay.
So I don't believe in motivation. I believe in self-discipline. And this is something that I work with. So motivation for me is that if you want to go to the gym, you're going to put on some good music. You're going to, I'm going to get myself pumped up. You're going to take a pre-workout. You're going to get yourself feeling good to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It's like motivation is fleeting. Because what happens if your headphones die? What happens if you run out of pre-workout? Yeah. Or you're just not going to go to the gym that day because you're not motivated anymore? You know, so it's understanding that we can lean on motivation, and it's a very useful thing,
right?
It can be a crutch, but you don't want it to be a crutch. You want it to be an aid. You want it to, like, right, if you're going to go to, I don't know, for battle or whatever, you're going to play a football game, right, pump yourself up now. Like, get yourself part up. But most, 99% of my training, I don't listen to music when I run. I don't listen to anything. I train, I want to go out when it's raining because I want to test myself. Am I going to, and listen, I'm sitting there looking at my trainers, looking at the weather going, do I want to go for a run today? You know, but the answer is, why are you going for a run? And it's like, have I got an event coming up that's like, right, I've challenged myself to run, so I need to be motivated. I need that discipline, not motivation.
Okay.
You know, and it's reframing. So if you reframe it as self-discipline, then motivation becomes irrelevant because you're doing it anyway. So for me, self-discipline is doing something that when you don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's like staying committed to something long after the moment that you said you'd do it has passed.
Having a sense of meaning of doing it.
Yeah, of course. Right?
Because if you're just going to go for a run when it's raining because you just want to burn some calories, well, why not just go and sit on a bike in the gym?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? But if you've signed up to run a half marathon, Now you've got a meaning. Now I need to run. Now there's a reason to run. And yes, you know what? It might be raining on the half marathon. So I
need to train in this.
Lace up, let's go. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's an element of having a word with yourself and understanding what are your motives? Like, why are you doing something in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, and is it for a real reason? Is it for a true reason? Understanding what drives you and what drives me are very different things. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not to say that you shouldn't like flick on a motivational video to get yourself jacked up and pumped up every now and then. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to turn into a routine that you have to do in order to get fired up, and if you don't, you end up having a flat workout or a rubbish workout, then that there is now no longer an aid. It's a crutch. And that then is now you're reliant on that, much like you would be if you was an alcohol dependent or drug dependent. You're using that really that burst of dopamine that gives you as energy to go out and do what it is you said you were going to do. Whereas actually what it should be is it just should just be self-discipline. Yeah. Now, self-discipline is really challenging, right? Because it comes at a cost. But a famous, like, so a guy called Tim Glover, I think it was, who's Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan's physical trainer. He said, if you think the cost of discipline is expensive, you wait till you get the bill for regret.
I saw someone said that the other day.
He's got two books that are fantastic, Limitless and another one. But it's understanding that you want to program yourself to be able to, listen, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter if my leg hurts. Doesn't matter if I just got some bad news. Doesn't matter if the weather's bad. I'm doing what I said I was going to do. And discipline is a muscle that you have to practice. You know, so if I say I'm going to do something and I just can't bother and I sack it off to go and do something else, well, I just got a little bit worse at it. And if I do that 10 times, now all of a sudden I'm pretty bad at it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And now all of a sudden it's like, well, I've got no chance. Whereas actually just being slightly better. Like, and that's where the whole concept of when some people say rather sort of flippantly is like, just start by making your bed.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just literally a simple practice of self-discipline. Make 100%. Your bed every day. And that then leads to having breakfast every day, and that then leads to eating a good lunch every day, and all of a sudden, a year down the line, you're a very different person. Do you know what I mean?
You're spot on. So back in 2018, when I got signed off for work the second time, this is when my mind switched, because I was watching a motivational video. I was sat at home, mate, and I was like, I just need something, and I found myself just going through YouTube, like, just give me anything. And I ended up watching this US Navy admiral. Yeah. He was delivering a keynote speech. He was a keynote speaker at a university. And he said this story. And he said, just make your bed. In the morning, stand up 180 degrees and just make your bed. Now, having come from a forces background, where that is the first thing you do in the army is you make your bed, I was like, why have I stopped doing that? It's like, there's a saying, isn't there? Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Mm-hmm. And it was like, right, okay, so I'm just going to make my bed every day, first thing. And I now tell my kids that. I tell them, like, when you get up in the morning, make your bed. And then, say my 13-year-old, what have I got to do that? I'm going to get back in it later. Yeah, cool, that's the teenager speaking. But later on in life, you will like you say, it's the first win.
Yeah, it's not about making the bed. It's about being disciplined.
Yeah.
And it's about, and if you let that slip and then you let other things slip, before you know it, you're 2 years down the line and you're a slob of a person that hasn't, like, is not motivated to do anything and hasn't got any discipline to do anything. You know, it's like, then it's a bigger fix.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I say, it's not about making the bed. It's about building discipline.
So do you use that in every aspect of your life then, Rob, with this discipline, like with diet? Especially like because you're, and we're going to talk about what you're training for in a minute, mm-hmm. is especially with your diet, your nutrition, the content you consume. Do you use that discipline? Like,
I think when I was young, I mean, so the nutrition side of things, I've been uber disciplined before in the past, where you're weighing everything, counting macros. I mean, I've been training now, like in the gym, training for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, there becomes a point where it's like, do you know what? I'm just going to eat what I want to eat. I mean, I eat naturally healthy anyway, right? And I, when you eat healthy for a long periods of time, and it's not to say I don't enjoy a pizza and a few beers. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not like I live like a monk at all. But it's understanding that I'm quite sensitive to, if I eat junk food, I feel awful.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually becomes a point where it's like, do I want that pizza? I kind of fancy a pizza, but I also don't want to feel like crap tomorrow. Yeah. So it's like, I end up weighing it up, you know? So in the end, if I had my own way, I would eat a very clean and strict diet. You know, other people, influences, social engagements, changes things a little bit. But I'm a relatively kind of disciplined person. I like to have order. I wouldn't say that I'm naturally like that. I think that's a taught skill that I've kind of adopted over time. I haven't got a military background. And actually, when I was younger, I had very little orderly process. I'm a quite more of a creative individual, so I don't like order. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like having to strict boundaries. Mm-hmm. But actually, when you enforce them, you start to streamline your life a little bit, right? You take away some of the guesswork. There's a reason why Mark Zuckerberg and top CEOs of companies wear the same clothes over and over again. It makes one less decision they have to make a day. You know, so they wear black jeans and a black t-shirt, you know, because they just can't bother to think about it. They've got 110 things to think about during the day. I don't want to have to think about what I'm wearing today.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and it's the reason why people wear suits to work. You know, that's the main reason. I don't want to have to look at what you're wearing. Just put a suit on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a uniform.
Yeah.
There's a reason for uniforms.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that orderliness has its place. Mm-hmm. And actually that it's not, because when it comes to the nutrition side of things and even training, it's, you can go and have one great day of training and eating. You can have 1 week of training and eating, but that doesn't make you all of a sudden have a six pack and look amazing. It's the consistency. It's layering together days, weeks, months, years that give you what it is you're trying to achieve.
Consistency is such a, I think it's an underrated word. And I think that people don't realize how positive consistency can be in your life.
My saying is if you're consistent, you don't have to try as hard.
Yeah.
Because you do it every day. So the thing is that like people, I see a lot of people in my industry, like clients and stuff that I see, and they're always looking for the most intense workout. But consistency trumps intensity. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to train that hard if you're going to do it every day. Mm-hmm. If you're only going to do one workout a week, it needs to be a shotgun approach and it needs to be the hardest work I've ever done, right? So it's like, so the thing is that once you commit yourself to the lifestyle, and whether that's 3 times a week, 4 times a week, it doesn't have to be every day, but now all of a sudden you can take your foot off the gas. Because I'm doing this for weeks, months, years. This is not a 6-week program anymore. This is a 6-decade program.
Yeah.
So I don't need to try as hard now because I'm just going to build on it every week, month, year. Right. So consistency trumps intensity in the long run.
Okay. So there may be someone listening to this that wants to start to, they've heard every word you've said and rightly gone, yeah, do you know what, Rob, you're making a lot of sense now. I want you to just imagine day one, week one, just what would be your advice to someone who wants to start on that journey, who's been feeling shit, who's drinking too much alcohol, they're eating crap, they're not looking after their mind. What would be your starter pack?
So my first thing is, right, is what I say to people, and this is straight out of Jordan Peterson's book, right? So it's like, you need to have a conversation with yourself, because it's not for me to tell you what to do. Because I can sit there and write the best diet program or program of the world. If you're not going to do it, it's not worth its weight in gold. Mm-hmm. So you need to sit down and look at yourself in the mirror and say, what is it that I know I can do, mm-hmm. that I know I should do, that I actually would do? You know, for some people, if you're really in a bad place and it's not going well, that might just be getting up and getting dressed for the day and ticking that off as a win.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't really got a history of exercise, don't pull out a 7-day-a-week program out of Men's Health and jump straight into it. Maybe start by just doing 10,000 steps a day for 7 days a week. So you want to grab the low-hanging fruit, right? So it's not about, we as human beings, we naturally reach for the stars. Mm-hmm. But actually, you want to reach for the nearest star you can grab.
Yeah,
and like I say, is that it's about stacking wins.
Yeah.
So if you can string together a week of waking up and getting dressed, if that's where you're at, wow, okay, I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I shouldn't eat chocolate for breakfast. Maybe I should have a bowl of porridge, or maybe I should have some eggs. Okay, we'll start there.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that like, that might seem trivial to some people. That might seem like it's not a big enough change. Yeah. But for some people, that might be a massive change.
It is.
So it's about having a conversation with yourself and understanding, being quite honest and humble with where you're starting from. Mm-hmm. So where the hell am I? Mm-hmm. Where do I want to get to? Mm-hmm. So set yourself a goal, because the thing is, a sat nav is a great tool to have. But if you don't know where you're starting from and you don't know where you're going, you might as well throw it in the bin, right? So the thing is that if we're trying to move forward in life, right, it's first of all, you need to have an idea of a destination. Mm-hmm. It might not be the destination that you end up getting to, but at least it's towards something, right? So this is what I say is that I'm a big believer in having a vision for what it is you want in life. So whether that's a decade, 2 years, or what's the life I would like to live, right? And design that, think about it, you know? And it's like, and then it's like, well, okay, well, I'm not quite there in this area, so let's tweak something. Let's move it so it's a little bit more aligned. And try and do things like that on a daily basis. So whether that's right, maybe someone's overweight and they just want to start. It's like, okay, well, maybe I can lose a pound.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's the goal. Don't worry about £10, £20, £30. That might be the big goal.
Don't worry about over there. Yeah. Just deal with here.
Don't aim too high. Aim up.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just a little bit up.
Yeah.
Just enough so that we can stay motivated. Because all of a sudden, if it's too high, you're like, oh, I'm never going to be able to do that. So I'm going to stop. What's the point of even trying?
Yeah.
You know? So it's understanding that it's being humble. Because we all have an ego. And we all think we're capable of stuff that we may not be capable of, right? We over egg ourselves or under egg ourselves in some people in some cases. But it's understanding that if the journey of 1,000 steps starts with just one step, you know, just like what you were saying, it's that like exactly the same metaphor, you know. It's just understanding that game of inches,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, and that's ultimately what it is. It's about there's no perfect program, you know. There's no perfect diet. You know, because if you look at the research of all diets, the only thing that they have in common is they all fail just as much.
Yeah.
And the reason is that most people are adopting a diet or an exercise program as a short-term fix to a long-term problem.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this exercise program, this diet for 6 weeks. Well, then what happens at the end of 6 weeks? You're just going to go back to where you were? And that's the problem, which is why everyone loses weight and gains weight.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do, which is harder, is adopt something forever.
Finding a why.
Yeah, finding a why and finding something that you can stick to for the long period of time. Because if you're going to go zero carb keto diet, I mean, I could stick to that for 6 weeks, but I'm not going to want to do that for 20 years.
No.
So, I mean, where's the fun in that? Now, if you can do that, that might be the perfect diet for you. Yeah. If you can't, then that's probably the wrong diet for you.
Yeah.
So it's figuring out what works best for you. And that might be counting calories so that you can enjoy some flexible food. It might be that you just want to eat steak all the time and go carnivore. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Like, do you know what I mean? Figure out what works for you.
I think that you're 100% right, and that conversation with yourself. I think anyone, Rob, that's been on a self journey, I can comfortably sit here now at 40 years of age, look back to me at 20 years of age, and be so proud of where I am now, and so thankful that I'm not that guy anymore. Anyone that's done that journey has at some point sat down and gone, right, sort your shit out, we're going to do this, be honest with it. Like, being humble is, again, it's underrated. Like, humbling yourself is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah,
to sit there and tell yourself everything that you don't like hearing about yourself is really fucking hard. But when it flips is when you use that to go, yeah, do you know what, I'm not going to be that guy.
There's two main drivers that I always think that you want to have when you're going through life, right? You want to have something to aim for, mm-hmm. which is where you would like to be, you know, mm-hmm. whether that's work, life, how you might want to look, etc. Right, and then you want to have something that you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, what if you, Jamie, like did everything that you know you could do negatively, mm-hmm. what could your life look like in a negative sense?
Oh yeah,
100%. Do you know what I mean? So actually, like, I don't want that. So I'm actually and actually the fear of that is actually more of a driver normally than. And the motivation
fear
or the
of failure, right?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's failure. It's understanding that if I let myself go to the point where I didn't try, I didn't exercise, I didn't eat healthy, I didn't do anything, I made bad decisions, what could my life be? Would I be addicted to drugs? Have I got an addictive personality? Would it go that way?
Yeah.
Would it be depression? Would it be all of these things? And it's like, okay, well, I don't want that.
No.
Right? So I want to steer clear of that. Yeah, and actually, I want this.
Yeah.
So let's start moving that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's having the deterrent and the driver. You know, and it's understanding that they both work synergistically together, mm-hmm. you know, because I think if you're too motivated or too obsessed about the end goal, there's a difficulty to being happy and content because you're always chasing something.
Do you think that if you're that obsessed with the end goal, you don't enjoy the journey to that? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, this is where you need to be careful about sort of the end goal, right? So what does that mean? Because it's like, one of the things that I really valued was, what do we desire in life? You know, so if you desire too many things, a desire essentially, when you look at it, is a contract you make with yourself that you're not going to be happy until you get that thing, mm-hmm. right? So if you're desiring a £1 million house and you don't have the economic means to buy £1 million, you're just never going to be happy,
yeah.
right? And you're always going to be looking over and going, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. So that's so you need to be careful about desiring things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and likewise is. Listen, like not everyone's going to be shredded to the bone at 6% body fat, you know, and maybe you'd, and most people and I know that have got there had a horrible time getting there. It's not enjoyable getting there, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's horrible. They don't feel great. They feel awful.
Yeah.
You know, if they're getting on stage, it's for a reason,
yeah.
you know, but the reality is that you don't know what that feels like to get there. It's not much fun. Mm. feeling that awful, like your testosterone's low, your sex drive's gone, all of these things are in the floor. But because they look good, everyone's like, I want to be like that guy. Yeah. It's like, you need to know what's going on, right? And this is the problem as we get back to sort of social media. If you see a snapshot of someone with their shirt off and you're like, oh my God, he must have everything. He's look how shredded he is, or look how good looking she is.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's going on behind the surface. You don't know what the software program's running. She might wake up every morning, or he might wake up every morning hating what he sees in the mirror. And that might be what drives him to not eat and to exercise too much. So actually, what he portrays or people portray on social media isn't always what runs and ticks behind the scenes. So this is why we need to be careful about what we desire and what we hold of value, you know, because it's understanding that if we have a meaning in life, you know, a reason to do something, whether that's like this podcast that's trying to help people, now that's a meaning, right? Because that now all of a sudden it doesn't matter how far you take that, because the desire and motivation that you have for the cause keeps you going.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, whereas if you were saying, right, I want to own a Ferrari and I want to, it's like, well, that's, you're outsourcing your happiness, mm-hmm. right? So it's a bit like what you were saying with when we sort of look within. Yeah, we have conversation with ourselves. Like, when people are feeling down and depressed and not feeling great about themselves, they've got low self-esteem and stuff, we look externally. Yeah. We outsource our self-esteem. So we look on social media, we look at people, and we're like, oh my God, look how good their life is. They're on holiday. And it makes us feel even worse about ourselves.
Don't do that, man.
Yeah, but it's a slippery slope, right? Because people who are feeling great about themselves don't tend to spend as much time on social media.
Nah.
So it's a real slippery slope.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that we need to value ourselves more than we value other people. You know, and I used to catch myself doing this all the time when I was younger. I wouldn't be confident in choosing clothes. I wouldn't be confident in decisions. So I'd ask, oh, what do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think? And actually it's like, well, hang on, what do I think? Is the biggest question. Because if I'm making a decision based on my life or whatever it might be, no one else's opinion really matters.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Of course.
You know, and it's all about you for your life and stuff like that. So it's having enough self-worth to value your own opinion above others.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that takes time. It takes an understanding of being like, oh, hang on, what do I think about a certain thing? You know, and then take the time to think about that, because most people don't know what they like, what they don't like. You know, and it's like, oh, I don't know. What, like, do you know what I mean? It's like, because have you ever thought about it? Like,
Do you know what? Like, if you ever want to put anyone on the spot, just say, give me three things that you love.
Yeah.
Because they'll go, and if someone with a family, they'll go, right, well, my kids, yeah, brilliant. My wife, yeah, okay. Like, no, what do you love? Like, selfishly. Because I think that we don't want to be selfish. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like people find it hard being.
I think you should be selfish to a level, right? Yeah. Not self-obsessed and not narcissistic in that, you know, into the sense that you don't value other people at all.
No,
but at the same time, is you value yourself, value your own time. Don't outsource your happiness to other people, and don't put yourself out for the sake of other people.
Yeah,
right. It's like I grew up being very much a people pleaser. I grew up had a fear of not fitting in and getting being shunned from a social group. Like, so in the end, I would just I'd downplay who I was as a person just to fit in.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is with that is that you end up then not knowing who you are.
Build a caricature yourself.
Yeah, well, exactly. You're putting a mask on. So you wear a different mask for every social group you go into.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm good at doing that. Like, I am curious about a lot of different things, so I can blend in. But the problem is that you end up, if you do that for 30 years, you end up losing sight of who you are and what you like. And that's a very scary place to be.
Do you know what, right? I'm glad that we're having this part of the conversation, because one of the things that I told myself when I did this podcast and when I started sharing myself openly like I do is honesty and transparency. And one of the reasons that I got as unwell as I did, I think, is because I wasn't transparent with those around me. So I'm going to share something with you. Remember when we went on holiday to Iron Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was suicidal on that holiday.
Wow, really?
Yeah, like genuinely thought about killing myself on that holiday.
Wow.
Like, I remember we were sat at this outside a bar one night, and we was all just, well, you lot were just
What was going on in your life at that time that made you think that?
Like, just, I was depressed, Rob. I was suffering with clinical depression. I just never told any of you about it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's like, it's one of those things, right, because how hard would that have been at the age of, I mean, how old we went to our Napa, 20 years old, right? How hard would it have been on a very testosterone-driven lad's holiday for you to sit down, get emotional, and have that conversation? Right?
It would have been impossible.
Well, it would have been impossible for you, and it'd also probably been impossible for most of the lads sitting there with maturity, right? Like, I mean, I'm not sure how anyone would And how can a 19, 20-year-old know how to react in that situation when someone opens up, right?
You can't.
So it's not. So it's very difficult to, in that situation for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's and it must be so. I can only imagine that that is so kind of. You feel like you're in a prison,
mate. Right? So it was like you're saying about the putting on a mask but not feeling happy, and that's 100% what I was doing on that. I remember it like clear as day. I remember being sat outside this bar. I'd not been. It was the morning of the flight when I started to feel unwell. And we were probably 3 or 4 days into it. And I remember looking at you lot and we was all having a laugh and a joke. And I thought, none of you'd give a fuck if I died. Like, I'm going to go and get in that fucking sea and just not come out. And this is why, like you're saying about putting on that mask and not doing what's right for you and not being the person that you're authentically meant to be. Mm-hmm. And not being selfish, that's why it's important to be selfish and be you.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If you put on a mask and put on a front to fit into a situation, you're going to become exhausted.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, right?
Yeah, well, it is. And the thing is exactly what you said there, right? Well, I think that, and this is, again, something for me that I've learned over the last probably 6 months.
Yeah.
The hardest thing in the world for me to be is myself mm-hmm. in the world.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, because you can either please people or you can be yourself. You can't do both.
Yeah.
Right. So the thing is that if you're a natural people pleaser, mm-hmm. right, you're naturally going to gravitate towards sort of putting yourself in a cupboard and just being the person that other people want you to be. I mean, you can have fun doing that. Like, I'm not saying you're being a completely different character. You're just like shutting away part of you.
Yeah.
And actually, when you start to understand that who you are and truly put yourself out there, like that is the most freeing thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you feel, and all of a sudden it's like you've got a weight off your shoulders. Yeah. And when you can do that, that is ultimately what people, when you look in the spiritual world, what they call enlightenment, mm-hmm. you know, and it's all these different things. I mean, one of my favorite sayings that I heard, and it rings with me, right, is that everyone's born with two lives, mm-hmm. but the second one begins when you realize you've only got one, right? So it's that's that time when someone, I think, gets diagnosed with an illness or whatever it might be. You're like, all right, I'm not doing the things for other people anymore. I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where that second life begins.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I think that's a real powerful thing to understand, that, you know, you have to kind of go through the layers of life. You have to shed some skin. You have to learn about yourself. Unfortunately, I don't think you can go through life without adversity. I think you have to overcome a lot of things, be that internal, external. You can weather many storms, and all of them make you a tougher, harder, better version of yourself.
Yeah, of course. So... talking about harder, tougher, training for a very important event at the minute. Share a bit about that and tell me how your training is going.
Well, it's Saturday. It's this Saturday. Yeah. So it's I got a 40-mile run on the Jurassic coast of England. So I was hoping the weather was going to be a little bit better. I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, so that's on Saturday. So do you know what? For me, it's about getting outside my comfort zone. It's about challenging myself and pushing myself beyond what I think I'm capable of. You know, I started when I booked this at the beginning of the year, it was right. It was a commitment to myself that I'm going to do things that I say I'm going to do. Cause I've always trained. But the reality is, if I look at myself in the mirror, mm-hmm. a lot of my training was in my comfort zone. I mean, I've always been a weightlifter. I've been a power lifter. Like, I've done stuff that is to my strengths. Mm-hmm. Right. But actually getting outside of that comfort zone and testing yourself, there's that fear, facing your fears.
Yeah.
Facing the fear of failure,
yeah.
you know, but the reality is that we shouldn't fear failure. We should actually move towards it, because if you're not failing in life, you're actually not really trying. Yeah. You're not stretching yourself like thin enough. And you need to pick stuff that petrifies you. Yeah. And for me, I'm not a natural runner. You know, I'm fit and I'm healthy, but running 40 miles is petrifies me.
Rob, I don't like driving 40.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So do you know what? It's a challenge, and it's going to be, but actually the closer it gets, the less it scares me, because this is, again, it's an evolution, right? Because I think that you pick a fear that you think is scary, but actually over the last 3 months, I've learned that the physical pursuits that I do don't scare me as much as the internal.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? So actually like doing things like this, I find way more scary. I'd rather do a 40-mile run than do a podcast or do a camera facing post on social media.
Wow. Okay.
So and this is something I've learned in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
Right. When the closer the event gets, it's like, okay, well, if I'm sitting there and preaching to people, you need to do things that scare you. I mean, there's a part of me that's hiding behind my physical bits, because I've always trained. I'll overcome that.
It's easy for you.
Well, it's not easy, because no 40-mile run's easy,
no,
right?
No, but
it's, but it's more my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the physical side of things I'm kind of okay with. But actually, it's the things up here and the real fears, you know, being myself on camera, having conversations like this that like aren't prevalent in most people's life, you know, is actually what I crave.
Yeah.
But there's very few opportunities in life that you actually get to do this. You know, because if you go down a pub with your mates, like it's noisy, there's music on, it's not really the environment to have a deep and meaningful conversation.
Absolutely.
But I think females generalizing a little bit do it a little bit better than guys do. Yeah. But actually, there's a lot to be learned from this. And actually, there's power in articulating what you go through. Because when you say, you tell me that story about Iron Apple, as you talk that, and the more you talk that, the more you understand it for yourself.
Yeah, of course.
So there's a, like, I mean, I do therapy every week. I have a counselor that I go and see every week. And that for me is the best investment I ever do. You know, because
everyone should get therapy once in their life.
Yeah, and the benefit of it is that it's just an ability to communicate what you're going through, because we hold on to stuff, you know, and some of it is trivial, some of it is just easy. Once you say, like, well, why was I worrying about that? That was ridiculous. But some of it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so as you work through things in life, you know, you learn about yourself. Whereas if you bottle things up, we forget about it, and it just kind of gets compressed, and we kind of. We lean on it, we stand on it, we trample it down, and then all of a sudden we don't understand why when someone says something, I'm going to react because it's triggered something in me.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where I just think that for me it's about facing your fears and leaning into it. And the run I've got coming up is great. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a horrible challenge, and I'm sure it's going to be. But that is again why I chose it, because I want to suffer. I want to, because I think you learn a lot about yourself when you go through that, when you go through it. You know, and that's why people should train. You know, it's why people should test yourselves every once in a while. I'm not saying you should do it every training session you do, but I think you should have things in the future that are like make you a little bit apprehensive. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. It keeps you honest, because there's definitely been things over the last 3 months that, you know, it's raining on a Sunday, like what we were sort of saying at the beginning, and maybe I wouldn't go for a run if I didn't have this event, but actually I did it.
Yeah.
So it keeps you on the path, keeps you honest, keeps you disciplined. And actually, for me, it's been a real value, because I used to do this a bit more regularly, but COVID kind of shut that down. And I kind of got out of the habit. So for me, this is the first event that I'm doing. Now, there's part of me it's almost indifferent. If I was to roll my ankle and fail, I'm not attached to the result, because it's the pursuit of it that's the powerful thing.
So really, the race days is the end for you. Like you've enjoyed the journey, the training.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like I was a little bit disappointed last week because training started to taper down, and now I'm kind of sitting there twiddling my thumbs, being like, okay, well, and I kind of want to train, because it's like it's always been what I do, and now it's like I need to rest my body, I need to get ready, because I've got to run pins, because it's gone on such a hilly course, it's probably going to take me 9 hours.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be a tough day at the office.
It sounds it, mate. Well, listen, man. I wish you nothing but the best for it. I'm sure you'll smash it. I'm sure that all of your hard work and discipline will hold you in good stead. So we're running out of time, Rob. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I was asked this question on the Live-a-thon by Alex. And by the way, I meant to say this at the beginning. Big up Shift Momentum, by the way, for putting us in the studio.
Amazing studio. It's brilliant.
Yeah, so big up the guys, Christine, Alex, and all the guys at Shift Momentum, and Anastasia, for helping set this up today. But I was asked a question on their 24-hour live stream raising money for CPSL Mind that I thought was an amazing question, and I'm nicking it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask all my guests this on my podcast. 1 year from now, what are you going to say to Robbie Coles that sat here today? What are you going to say in 365 days back to you today?
Well done for following your curiosity and your goals and being you. Because that's my goal right now, is just to be myself and to be open about being myself, you know, and not to hide it and not be ashamed of it, and just be me and post what I want to post and share what I want to share and encourage people to do the same, because I think that's where the freedom comes and that's where enjoyment for life comes.
Of course, that's a beautiful thing. And so talking about posting, where can people find you on the socials?
So really only Instagram is my main one, at @rob_coles.
Yeah, I'll tag you on the amazing. The
and that's the main one. Other than that, hit me up on there. I'm always sort of, be social, you know, like let's get involved and let's like motivate each other to do better and be better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rob, from the bottom of my heart, mate, thank you for coming.
My pleasure, man. I've enjoyed it.
Really good to see you. It is amazing to see you. Really good to have this conversation with you. And honestly, mate, if you can take away one thing from today, know that you motivate and you inspire me.
Amazing.
Like, genuinely, man, like watching you from the sideline. Like, when I see you in the, like, every now and then, if I see you in the gym, I'm like, right, I'm going to put in a little bit of extra effort because I can see what Robbie's doing. and to see the growth in you, man, over the last 23 years
has been
beautiful. It's been
likewise, man. It's honestly, I watch from a distance and stuff and see all the stuff you're doing. And to actually sit down and have a conversation, you know, I think it's nice because, again, when you know someone, this is what I always sort of say, you can know someone for 25 years, but actually never really know what they go through, right? So, and actually to have this conversation is cool, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I appreciate you, as do I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with another guest. Got a really good guest coming on. Really interesting. Oh, before I go, Robbie, your podcast.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going to be launching a podcast in May.
Yeah, plug it, man.
Ah, well, there's nothing to plug yet, man. I'm going to keep it tapped. So follow me on socials. That'll be leaked over the course of time. I've got my first sort of six guests lined up, and yeah, just going to be having similar sort of conversations to this, man. Deep conversations, trying to get to know. I mean, my whole sort of strap line is kind of providing depth in a superficial world.
Yeah.
It's sort of peeling back the layers that social media doesn't really allow for, and learning the stories from the lives people live.
There you go then. So keep an eye out for another amazing podcast in May, Robbie's. I'm looking forward to hearing from it, and I will see all of you on the flip side. Peace.